So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Your Money Matters here on WGN. Here are the numbers that matter. The market's all down big today. Gas prices, they continue to slide, though. We're down to $3.90 nationwide. In Illinois, we're at $4.25. Indiana at $3.91. Your diesel down to $4.98. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago's National Activity Index improved a bit in July, up 0.27. Over one-third of U.S. adults say they are reconsidering major milestones, such as buying a house or buying a car, because of inflation. That according to a new survey by The Balance. The average 30-year mortgage rate up to 5.95%. The credit card interest rate up to 21.33%. Now we got 9 more days left on the federal student loan pay requirement suspension. For now, that could be extended. And the average lowest pay level that Americans willing to accept for a new job, up to $72,800. And those are the numbers that matter here on Your Money Matters on this Monday, August 22nd, 2022. Thank you so much for joining us here. I'm John Hanson, and we got a great show for you today. We'll be chatting about renting versus owning, and I know that's a conversation a lot of folks have. And even if you've already made your choice, there's some interesting nuggets about renting and owning and the housing market in these rather confusing economic times. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll get you involved in the conversation a little bit later on. I know you guys have been talking about the $300,000 to raise a child number. And by the way, Kevin, I never said congratulations on your engagement. This has nothing to do with that number, but I just wanted to say a big congrats to Kevin Powell, who's working on some other stuff right now. Congrats on that engagement, Kevin, by the way.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you off there. I just didn't. I realized now as I was looking at you, I didn't say it on Thursday, and I wrote it down on my notes, and here I am. I'm like, oh, got to do it now.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so $300,000. Mary Vandeveld, I believe you're the only expert in this conversation about that.
Like I kept track. That would have been so depressing.
Right. But it's more than just the money, right? I need you to convince me.
Yeah, why do people do these kind of studies and all this stuff? It's just going to make people depressed and not want to have children.
I know. And we already have lower rates, too.
Come on. I mean, children bring so much joy, and it's just, you figure it out, you know? We sent our kids to private school, you know, to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. We figured it out. We had to figure it out. We had different jobs or blah, 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 you know, different babysitters, different this.
Right.
You just work on it.
And you're only going to work to 85 to pay it off, so you're going to be
fine. Exactly. I could never retire, but no. I'm fine with it.
I'm just kidding. Well, no,
if I retire, then I have to babysit full-time probably for the grandkids, right. Which would be fine, too.
Right.
So.
I don't have kids, but we're considering that number. It kind of make my eyes pop out a little bit.
Yeah,
but
don't look into it. You can't.
But, you know, when I did, it was a lot of it was like, oh, for health insurance, which, of course, you pay for, but that's for yourself as well.
I mean, you do the family plan.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a lot of costs in there that we could break down a little bit later on. But anyways, I don't know if we want to dive into that anymore, but if you have any guesstimates, and they could also work for you, right? What age can they start working at? 14? That's when I started being a baseball umpire. Start charging them a little bit there.
Yeah, there's
then,
no
right?
paper routes anymore, so you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta come up with something else. Right. You know, just become a teacher, a tech teacher, and teach the grandparents how to do
stuff.
Yeah,
there you go.
And they'll pay you for it.
There you go. I heard it was John Williams, and he may have been quoting someone else, but he said that kids make everything worse in the measurable ways, like dollars you have and time you have, but they make everything better in all the immeasurable ways.
I heard that saying. I love right? that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. It's very good.
And that's what we're hanging our hat on.
Need to put that on everybody's wall.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, Mary, you made me feel better about the kids department. Boy, had a great weather day today, too. What's the weather and the traffic looking like? All right, Kristen Myers, editor-in-chief for TheBalance.com. How are you doing this evening, Kristen? Thanks for hopping on with us.
Hey, John, I'm good. How are you?
It's always great to chat with you, no matter which day of the week it is. And on this Monday, I want to look better news, but I know we do have increasing numbers of layoffs out there or businesses at least planning potentially for that. I don't want to over worry people, but there are things you can do when you get laid off to help kind of mitigate the damage, right?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the first things that you're going to do And this is actually also a tip for people that are currently in the interview process or actually negotiating their benefits, is actually trying to negotiate a severance package. A lot of people don't know that something like this is actually negotiable. A lot of companies, especially if they're laying off because of restructuring or they have to let people go because of a downturn, are willing to offer some sort of severance, whether it's 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or even longer, depending on the length of time that you've been working there. But it is something that you can negotiate, and that's something that you should definitely bring up, especially if you've been working at the company for a while. Try to get as much money as you possibly can on your way out of the door to really make sure that it can tide you over.
How
and
do you
going to want to check?
How do you have you don't have much power in that situation, right? Though, like, what do you use as leverage besides the word please as many times in a row as you can?
Well, this is actually why it's such a good idea to negotiate something like severance prior to you actually taking a job.
Wow.
And this is something that a lot of people don't think about, but
no.
You can actually negotiate your exit, you know, just in case it happens. So if there's anyone out there listening that is interviewing and they've accepted a job offer and they're kind of hammering out those details, negotiate that severance package now. It is absolutely something that you can put on the table. Say, hey, if this goes south and I have to be laid off, I would like 3 months, 6 months, a year. I mean, go crazy, I guess, depending on the job that you're working for and the role that you'll be taking. But you can definitely negotiate it.
That's now, fascinating. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that.
I know.
But I guess when you're in the nitty gritty of negotiating, let's say they won't give you what you want on one thing, you could bring that up and they might just be like, all right, okay, fine.
Listen, when you are, as you mentioned, when you're on your way, they've laid you off already. Of course, you don't have as much leverage, but you can both mention, especially if it's not something that you weren't fired, you were laid off because of really bad economic circumstances,
right,
or perhaps the company is selling off a section of a business unit, or maybe they're doing some kind of restructuring. You can definitely appeal to the fact that, one, the work ethic you've displayed while you've been there, the length of time that you've worked there, and also just how much profit you might have made the company, or how much you've managed to accomplish while you've been there. And this could actually help you bolster that argument that maybe, hey, that 2 weeks isn't good enough and that they should be a little bit more willing to give you a little bit more. So that's one of the first things that I would recommend.
Okay.
Try to get as much money as possible. But then you're also going to want to check out other benefits, things like your 401k or your health insurance. Obviously, these are two really big benefits that people have at work. You really want to make sure that, hey, what are you going to do about health insurance? Some companies will offer health insurance coverage for 6 months, maybe even a year. Figure out if you need to get on something like the Affordable Care Act after you're being laid off, just to make sure that something like your health, as we all know, is first and foremost and one of the most important things. You want to make sure that's taken care of.
I would absolutely ask for health care as long as you can, because COBRA is expensive. That's what you would get with your company's health plan. But having had to play this little game once and go to the Affordable Care Act, which was fine, like, it was easy to navigate the site and get, I just was paying more than I thought I ever would, and the coverage wasn't maybe as great as I thought it would be. Maybe other people will have a different experience, but that was mine. I wish I would have gone back and asked for, hey, could you just cover my health care for these months to at least give me that bridge?
Oh, absolutely. And healthcare costs are expensive. I mean, it always seems to go, right? If something goes wrong with your body, it's always, yes, a very big and expensive affair. So any little bit helps, especially when you're going to be in a period of your layoff where you're not going to have any really income coming in. You don't really want to be shelling out huge sums of money to take care of, you know, a broken foot or a broken hand or something like that. So health insurance is definitely something that you're going to want to figure out and try to assess before you, as you're getting laid off. And then you're really going to want to take a huge financial snapshot. You don't have income anymore. What are the things that you don't need anymore? What are the things that you can do without? Are you currently investing a lot of your paychecks? Maybe this is a time that you're going to start cutting back on your investments and really tightening that belt financially to make sure that you're only focusing on the things that you absolutely need to spend money on. But the one thing I really want to mention here is, I know layoffs are incredibly scary. They are a hugely emotional time. Take a couple of days to yourself. You know, think positively. Assess your career. Is this a career that you still want to stay in? If not, this is a good time to make a switch. And then you can really start hitting the pavement after you've brushed up that resume and really reached out to some of your contacts. But again, don't feel alone. Don't feel terribly panicked and afraid, and definitely don't feel ashamed, because layoffs happen to so many people every single day. So do take the time to check in with yourself, I would say, emotionally, to make sure you're ready to move on in the next career step.
And I will say, if there's anyone going through this right now, there still are a lot of jobs open. Now, recent surveys have shown that maybe half of businesses are starting to at least reduce the headcount or implement hiring freezes. But there are still a lot of jobs out there immediately. So if you're going through this right now, don't feel ashamed and take that day or two. But then there are opportunities out there, Kristen, still.
Oh, there's so many opportunities, John. I mean, we're still in a very tight labor market. And while we are seeing a lot of companies right now essentially saying, hey, we're going to have to lay off people, or if they're not laying off, they're doing hiring freezes, there's still well over 10 million jobs right now that are available, which is more than the number of workers that we have to fill them. So there are jobs that are out there. It might require a career switch or working in a different industry or perhaps a different city, but there are absolutely enough jobs for people out there that do want them. And so I wouldn't lose courage, because the chances are that you can go out there and find that next job.
Interesting article I saw on thebalance.com today about if you are laid off and you maybe were in the pandemic times, this is not the same safety net that's out there for you. Those unemployment benefit checks aren't going as far as they did a couple of years ago, and that may be an impetus to really check at what you're doing and what your budget is.
Oh, it's so true, John, because unfortunately, we don't have that pandemic era boost to unemployment. It was $600 a month, and then, of course, it was reduced to $300. But I mean, even before the pandemic, unemployment benefits, depending on what state you're in, some states definitely are a little bit more generous with their unemployment than others, but it would only cover about 40%, I would say, less than half of a lot of expenses that Americans have. And so that extra boost that many Americans saw during the pandemic really helped cover much, much more of their monthly necessities, 75% and even more, depending on, again, where you lived and what your expenses were. So if you are someone that's in this situation right now, it is a very scary reality, because there is not going to be that boost. And with inflation right now at an annual rate of 8.5%, more and more money is going to have to be spent on just basics. Groceries.
TheBalance.com has a nice map that shows you the differences in the uneven state of unemployment benefits. In Illinois, actually, a little bit better than 2020, but it just depends on where you live. And be sure to check it out. Kristen Myers is the CEO over there. And Kristen, it's always great to chat with you.
Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, let's take a break. We got the news, then more coming up on Your Money Matters. Earlier, I was listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch with John Williams and Elise Glink, and she was talking about how things have really cooled off in the housing market, but you have those rates up pretty high right now, and they ticked up again today. So I wonder, who is the buyer today that is out there for people? Alison Aloyd joins us now from Insider. And Alison, thanks for hopping on the program with us. Welcome to the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And so there are buyers out there, right? This could actually be a good time, but for who?
All right. So it would be a good time for people that can still afford a home purchase. A lot of the times, this might not tend to be first-time home buyers, probably people that are on their first or second home. But if you have the money to do so right now, the market has certainly eased a bit to make it a lot easier than it was, let's say, a year ago.
As someone who is going through this process right now and has seen some price drops, something that you hadn't seen for a while, while also recognizing that prices are still up from where they were a couple of years ago, it's not like the market is all falling down. I have been talking to a lot of agents that say, look, it's still a time to buy them, and houses do go quickly, but we're not seeing the 10, 20 offers after a day. It's just a little bit more, quote unquote, normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly what's happened is, because so many people right now are priced out of the market, you mentioned that home prices are rising. They're still rising, but they've fallen compared to how fast they were rising, let's say, last year. But because of that, so many people are priced out of the market. So it's opened it up a little bit more for buyers, like I said, that can afford a home purchase right now. There's less competition, although there is still competition, just not as much as compared as last year.
I think it's a matter of if people can kind of see this out and go, well, I may be stuck with a, what, 6% rate, 5.5%, maybe even we're going to go up a little bit more, 6.5%, maybe 7%. And while that seems inhumane to us who have been, you know, homeowners for a little bit with rates at, in the twos or the threes we've heard about, this is still historically not all that bad. But we do anticipate that in the next few years, you'd imagine, they'd go back down at some point, and I can just, hey, I'll just refinance when that's there. There are certain buyers that look at it that way, Alcina.
There are buyers that look at it that way. There are also buyers that recognize right now that there is not enough inventory in the market. And what that does is it keeps prices high. So before the pandemic, there was still a dearth of supply. And because of the home buying frenzy that happened during the pandemic, a lot of the inventory that was out there got eaten up. Because of that, home prices are going to remain high for the foreseeable future. I can't imagine them plummeting or values dropping to dangerous levels like in 2008 anytime soon.
Right. And when we say price drops on certain houses, maybe those people came in a little hot thinking that there was going to get a quick sell. And the market, obviously, as we've talked about, has changed. I do want to talk rent really quickly because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that rent versus own debate goes back and forth. And at certain points in certain people's lives, renting makes sense. But boy, you have got to pay for it now.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Right now, I know mortgages and rents are competing in price. I'm not saying that I want to give advice, but the best thing a person can do right now is look at their personal finances and their long-term goals. What do they want for their future, and how does a home purchase or renting fit into that?
Right. Because if you're someone that wants the flexibility, renting can save you money. Even if you're paying the premium for it now, it could save you from putting down a big deposit. And if you've got to sell your house in 2 or 3 years for whatever reason, you may not make that money back in appreciation.
That could be true for some people. And that being said as well, too, people are still interested in purchasing homes right now. They can still count on still being able to have a high amount of home equity. There's the U.S. right now has, I forgot the exact number, but we gained trillions of dollars in equity during the pandemic. So people that own homes and bought homes during the pandemic definitely still have a good investment.
For sure. I couldn't believe when the number I popped out at me, 39% higher than a year ago for certain rents. I mean, boy, I know it's not as bad in Chicago. We're not as high on the list as some of the other cities. But that is a lot, and people that are renting are often younger, and they've got their budget kind of stretched thin. Maybe they're people that also have student loans. I mean, a 39% jump, boy, that catches the eye.
Yeah, definitely. That data came from rent.com. The U.S. median rental price for a one-bedroom is around $1,700 right now. For a two-bedroom, it's around $2,100, so people are definitely feeling this in their pocket.
Oh, for sure. All right. Well, it's an interesting discussion and one that goes on, I think, in every household or rental or owning what you're going to do next. Alcina Lloyd, thanks for hopping on with us. We appreciate it.
Of course. You have a great one.
Yeah, you too. And you can find out more at businessinsider.com. 39% increase in rent. Go out there and look for a deal if you can find it. 720 WGN, your money matters. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Saving is certainly the foundation for a solid financial plan. Boy, we talk about that a lot on this show. Easier said than done, but the folks over at BMO Harris Bank are going to be helping you out in that department. Carmen Conrad joins us now from the marketing department. Carmen, so great to have you on WGN.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I want to start first by, let's talk about the positive, like what we do save for. I think that if we can frame it as we're saving for something, that can be a great motivator. So what are Americans saving for?
Well, the top three things that Americans generally are saving for are retirement, vacation, or another major purchase. That could be a home, it could be a car, or it could just be something that, you know, they've been looking forward to or need for their family.
And I imagine having a goal like, hey, this is going to this, might make it easier for people to have that picture in mind.
I think definitely setting goals is one of the key things that individuals can have in order to help them achieve their financial goals. But at BMO, we know that building savings and building a savings habit can oftentimes be really challenging. Like a lot of times we know that, you know, 50% of us spend more than we should. And with things like monthly bills and housing costs, and the recent concerns around inflation, savings can sometimes feel really daunting for a lot of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. And I imagine that's 50% of people that spend more than they should. And they know it, too, right? Like, I think we know when we're doing it, quote unquote, wrong, but life gets in the way sometimes and it's hard. So something that incentivizes savings, which I imagine you guys are doing, can be a great motivator for people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is what we call the knowing-doing gap, where there is a, we know what we should do, but sometimes it's really hard to execute against that. And so BMO has created a way for customers to really save and make it easier for them to do so. And the intention of it is really to help reward customers for achieving these goals on a monthly basis to really help them build the savings habit.
And how does it work?
So the account is called Savings Builder, and it's really designed to provide customers who reach specific savings goals rewards each and every month. And so customers who open a personal savings account are eligible to receive a $5 reward each month. You grow your balance by $200 or more for the first 12 months that you have the account. The intention is that we know it takes 21 to 254 days to establish a new habit. So the Savings Builder account gives you a full year to establish a solid savings habit with those monthly rewards as incentives.
And then that's the thing. It's about that habit building. And when you talk about $5 for each month, I mean, that does quickly add up into some, you know, extra cash, not in their pocket, but of course in their savings. That's the whole point, is to watch that grow, to create that habit. I know people might be listening and saying, well, I don't have a bunch of money to drop in to start one of these accounts. What is the kind of the buy-in for people? What's that starting balance that they might need?
So our Savings Builder account has no monthly maintenance fee and only requires a minimum opening deposit of $25. So really easy for folks to open online. Generally, the intention is to make these accounts very accessible for everybody so that they can really build a savings plan. I would say that the opportunity for opening the accounts is really easy. You can either do it online at BMO Harris, or you can visit a local branch, or you can call our customer call center. So easy ways to open and easy ways to save, since we also have, with all of our accounts, access to BMO digital banking, which allow you to do things like set up automatic savings transfers, for example, to pay yourself first, so that you don't forget to make the savings deposit every month, such that you can definitely achieve your goal and get that reward.
Having the ability within the palm of your hands to change that and to see that payment from yourself and to see and to do it, right, to actively do it, is such a game changer. It kind of takes away some of the excuses of like, I have to go all the way to the bank to figure it. No. This is something that you can do with your fingertips. And I know you guys have an extra incentive too for folks.
One of the things that we encourage customers to do is opening a BMO Harris checking account as well. Generally will come with a opportunity to earn a bonus. And what we'd like to encourage customers to do is to use this bonus to kickstart their savings. So for example, right now for our special summer promotion, if you open a new BMO Harris Smart Advantage checking account, you have the opportunity to earn up to a $300 bonus that they can then, when certain conditions are met, which then they can put into their Savings Builder account, which will automatically help them to earn that monthly reward for that first month.
It's like copacetic. It's like, hey, do this first thing that you're going to want to do anyways for its great benefits. You get this bonus, it transfers, or you know, you make it easy to get it over to the other account. You're going to earn those rewards. I mean, this really is about building wealth.
It really is around helping our customers get started and helping to make that real financial progress, and then helping them to continue and build that savings habit so that they can reach their financial goals.
I also think it's like, it's a penny at a time, it's a dollar at a time. And for some people, just even getting started with that, just knowing that they get those little rewards. I mean, we are, like you said, it takes a while to establish a new habit. But boy, if you're trying to change any habit in your life, saving more money is a big way to do it. And it's great that BMO Harris Bank has this opportunity to make it easy for people.
And one of the things that we do to help make it easy as well is to send you reminders via email so that you know that the month is coming to an end. So you can hopefully, you know, sometimes it's, with life is busy, we sometimes forget to make those deposits and savings. And so we give you regular reminders to do so. And then, you know, like anything, when you're building a new habit, if something comes up and life gets busy, or, you know, you don't have the opportunity to make the savings that month, it is a program that you can earn it in a month, but if you miss it 1 month, the next month you start clean slate and you can do it all over again.
Oh, nice. And there's so not like a penalty for not making it 1 month.
Exactly. And so it really is around, you know, understanding that building a savings habit is really challenging for many of us. And so finding ways, again, to incent and reward you for when you do it, but then also giving you the opportunity to try again in a month when, you know, you have not been able to do it for whatever reason, and you can start clean slate the next month and try again to achieve that goal.
Oh, and before I let you go, Carmen, I know we've been talking about personal savings, but there's a lot of people out there that listen to the show that are small business owners. Maybe they've just started a new business. There's a business savings builder account as well, too. That's different from the personal one.
Absolutely. We are really committed to helping business owners help with their savings as well. So we have a business savings builder account, which operates just a little bit differently, where business savings builders are eligible to receive a $10 reward each month if the account balance grows by $500 or more for the first 12 months of the account opening. Business savings has a minimum opening deposit of $100 and a $10 monthly maintenance fee, which is waived when maintaining a monthly minimum balance of $500.
That's great.
And so we aim to make it easy to save, whether you are a individual, if you are a business owner, and you can do both.
That's awesome. You can go online to bmoharris.com, visit your local branch. They got the customer call center as well. Carmen, this is great stuff. I'm glad that you're preaching what we are here on the show. It's tough to start saving, but the day is now. The best day to do it is today. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
For sure. Quick break, then more coming up on Your Money Matters. Just a few more moments here. We got news coming up in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I saw an article that you can now rent out your kitchen or your basement bar by the hour. It's an app called Knock Knock, N-O-C-K, launched today. It's a Chicago app, Chicago-based. I got to talk about this tomorrow because that is so weird to me that you would just let your kitchen be open for use. I mean, I guess if you got a really good one, that'll lead in perfectly tomorrow to we'll bring back What's Your Hustle. We haven't done that in a while. So get your side hustles onto the show tomorrow.